Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're 40 minutes from Vach Lombardi joining us here on your home of the Cowboys. He's going to join us for Krusty's Corner as Brian remains out until Thursday. Here's Woolchuck with your football fix.
All right, let's do it. Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
Intimidation.
Oh, I got to get my fix, man.
All right, update from On3 regarding Sorsby betting on Indiana football in 2022. He said he did so to feel more connected with the team.
There you go.
Per his affidavit and court documents, he said, quote, I rationalized placing those bets as a way to feel more connected to the team, to root for my friends, and to feel like I had a real stake in the games that I otherwise just wasn't involved.
The only way I could root for my teammates to be successful is if I had money on them.
He also added, because the Indiana football team was not a very strong competitor in 2022, I lost most of the bets I placed.
Yeah, I know. That was the big thing about all this. It's like, man, that was not the time to be going Hoosiers money line in 2022. So not only is he a gambling addict, he's clearly bad at his addiction. He's not even good at his addiction.
That's
the worst place to be.
I mean, that is pretty hilarious. I'm placing the bets to be closer to my team. I'm not even playing. That's the main thing I'm trying to get out here, Judge. I wasn't even playing. So I get it. You don't want people betting on your team, but I have no say-so or impact on the game.
I was barely even on the team.
I wasn't even involved. I just wanted to be closer to my friends. So I had to place that bet.
I mean, team sport, man. I was trying to do my part.
Come on, don't punish me.
I wasn't able to clap and yell and encourage them on the sidelines unless I had money on the game.
How
can you not understand this?
Come on, guys.
Your Honor.
And I do love that feeling of having something on the game and all of a sudden a meaningless contest has turned into the most exhilarating 2 to 3 hours of your life. That's fantastic.
It's great.
Gosh, that's wow! That's amazing.
He was doing that every Saturday. His entire freshman year.
I want to congratulate the attorney for just getting a massive bag of convincing Brendan Sorsby and his family that this epic line of BS was a viable legal strategy.
Yeah, guys.
Like the judge is going to look up and say, "Is there anything else you would like to throw at the wall to see if it sticks before I throw this out?"
Look, they are going to try this in Lubbock, so it might work. Who knows? Maybe you get a judge that, you know, he's pulling on the heartstrings.
Got to put some extra oil money in the judge's pocket.
Just tugging on those Red Raider heartstrings, you know? That's all that is. It's all good. That is pretty laughable.
So if Lubbock judge greenlights this, are we done? Or is the NCAA going to say, well, we're going to challenge it and we're going to appeal it to the so-and-so court?
That's a phenomenal question, because I don't think there's any way that the NCAA is
going to let Lubbock decide if Sorsby can play.
We can't open up this bag of worms here.
Like the judge has a Texas Tech Red Raider tattoo.
Yeah.
Arsenal on the entire
he's
left side of his
off.
Body.
He's got the number one fan bumper sticker like that.
NCAA is like, well, fair's fair. Judge.
I'll even say 4-game suspension.
The judge has spoken.
Fair. Golly, wow.
Man, good luck. Good luck, Tech fan. I mean, I'm pulling for you.
Yeah.
I want every team in the state of Texas and at least 2 schools in Oklahoma to win the championship every year.
Absolutely wild.
The judge is going to grant him what he wants. And then he's just going to start lobbing flour tortillas out into the jury in celebration.
Woo! It's a tortilla party.
They're going to have such a damn good time over there.
Man.
Judge is going to walk in smiling. He knows the good news.
Yeah, he's cheesing hard. Like, yeah, guess what, guys? Look what I just pulled off.
He might actually tell the lawyer, like, hey, don't quit saying the crap that you're saying right now because you're making this harder on me.
Do you guys see the videos that are floating out there? Rodgers returning, 1 year, $25 million deal. He's on the practice field today, slinging it to Michael Pittman Jr. Steelers get a Steeler, man. 9-win season. Load it up, baby.
Wow,
getting the band back together, Mike and Rodgers.
He got a pay raise for what he did last year.
Well, you said that seemed to be kind of the holdup was the finances, right, Gavin? Like,
yeah.
He wasn't going to play for the 15.
He's like, I'm only going to suck at quarterback for $10 million once, okay? And if you want me to suck at quarterback more, I'm going to need double and a half.
Okay, how much can you buy into Arthur Smith stunk, and a lot of their play calling was like, we're not pushing the ball downfield. That wasn't a Rodgers thing. That was because of the offensive coordinator. Now that he's gone, that in itself is going to be an upgrade. You've got DK Metcalf. You've got Michael Pittman Jr. You've got Jalen Warren, who's a good receiving back.
The problem is you also have
Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Now, here's the thing. We can say that, though, but the McCarthy offenses did put up big numbers here. We had that first half of the season that sucked. They did put up numbers, and I'm with you. Overall, McCarthy's not some offensive wizard. But I don't know. Like, is he for sure calling the plays there, or is this going to be Rodgers just going backyard quarterback style?
He is calling the plays. Yeah. They did bring in Brian Angelico, who is Kevin O'Connell's right-hand man and had been part of the Shanahan team in Cleveland. Remember that team of the Browns like 12 years ago that had McDaniel and all those guys? And so he's been part of the offensive scheme evolution, revolution, and in Minnesota. But what's he going to want to do in Minnesota was run the football and be under center, which is two things Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy don't want to do. So there is hope in there. If you think all those things are going to happen, and the first round pick was Ehanachor, the tackle from Arizona State.
Yeah, could be a good player.
Third round, they get Jennings Dunker, the tackle turned guard at Iowa. If those players are good and Rodgers and McCarthy are willing to run more, I think there's a path to double-digit victories for the Steelers. There's still a lot of really good players on that team. You just couldn't go be an actual contender with Rodgers as your quarterback.
No, like, right?
He was 35th through 38th in most meaningful stats.
And there's like 32 teams.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. They have a slightly.
And there's 32. He was 35 out of 32 teams. He's crushing it, boys.
Let's give him $25 million. Yeah, they have the 18th easiest schedule. So
directly in the middle.
Roughly in the middle there in terms of how difficult their schedule is. But that whole dynamic is just hilarious, dude. I can't believe we're living in a world where McCarthy and Rodgers are
back together. I feel
42? How old is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be 43 in September.
Oh
my God.
Like, you really did. It's just get the reset year. Like, the last time they were terrible, didn't they end up getting Big Ben the following season when they had a losing record?
Yeah, 2004. They were picking in the top 10.
And then they got Big Ben Roethlisberger, and now you're good for the next 15 years. Just stink. Your roster's pretty solid. Like, you literally could suck for a year. Just start Will. And who knows? Maybe Will Allard or Drew Allard are your guys. But odds are they're not. And now you go ahead and get your guy in what should be, at least as of today, on May 18th, a good quarterback class next year. For Steeler fans, they got to just be and I'm sure there's a few that are trying to sell the hope, beam like I just did. Like, okay, this is how, best case scenario. Yeah. But the majority of Steeler fans, having at least gotten to go to a game there, they seem level-headed and actually an educated fan base.
Yeah.
They got to be like, what the hell are we doing?
It's hilarious. Roethlisberger's only 1 year older
than Rodgers.
Wow. And he retired 5 years ago.
That's nuts.
Yeah, actually, Steelers fans hate me today because if you don't know, I do this podcast with my buddy Newbear, who lives up there. He does a Cowboys podcast with me, and I agreed to do a Steelers podcast with him like last summer. And, you know, reacting to this story, I said, we got to, you know, be truthful about how Aaron Rodgers played last year, and he sucks. You know, the NFL only gave the Steelers two national primetime games. This is one of the top five biggest brands in football. They gave you two primetime games. Both those are Sunday Night Football, where Mike Tomlin now works. This team is uninteresting, it's boring, and it's average. And the front office is pathetic. So I just went all in on the Steelers and said, how could you bring back Aaron Rodgers and give him a $10 million raise? You have Mason Rudolph. And you have two young quarterbacks that could use the experience, but you want to try to make the playoffs, you know? Yeah. And it's actually the same thing that's harmed the Cowboys for the last 30 years. We just want to not be bad.
Right.
Because then we can make a crap load of money.
Yeah, at some point it's worth it to just say, you know what? Throw out the young quarterbacks. Maybe you're able to catch lightning in a bottle and one of them hits, like the Cowboys ended up having to do with Dak. and he ended up being the guy. Or what's more likely is, boom, now you got a top 5 to 10 pick next year.
Yeah.
You draft the franchise quarterback.
And the moment they hired McCarthy, they were making this statement of, like, we just want to be okay.
We want safe.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You're not hiring McCarthy and be like, hey, dude, we're going to suck this year.
We don't want Grant Udinski, the OC in Jacksonville. We don't want Chris Shula. We want a guy that is going to give us a high floor.
Yeah.
You know, and the Cowboys did that for years. You know, at D.C., they actually talked about that at the presser. In the past, we would have hired a D.C. who is a head coach to give us a baseline expectation of what we could expect, because we don't want to screw things up too bad. And you got to kind of be willing to screw things up if you want to innovate and get an advantage on game days.
940 saying, I'd take Rodgers over half the quarterbacks in the league. He's not as bad as y'all are making him out to be. 817, great story. Cowboys-Steelers, Super Bowl 2027.
Yeah, I could see the Cowboys getting in there. I could.
I mean, it'd be a great storyline, McCarthy versus Dallas. Yes, with all of that. And then, of course, the history and the lore of Steelers-Cowboys. But the likelihood that this happens on both sides.
412 says, I live in Pittsburgh. Yinzers are ticked about Rodgers.
Yeah, they should be. That's disgusting.
33 in dropback success rate. 37th in percentage of throws that went at least 10 yards. Fastest time to throw through the most passes behind the line of scrimmage in the entire league.
It was bad. I mean, they had a...
He doesn't want to get hit,
dude. They had an East and West offense. I mean, it was not something that you wanted to watch every single week. Now, we did mention Ben Roethlisberger, his draft class. Let's go to Eli Manning, who was on with Bustin' with the Boys. Number one overall pick. Said, you know what? I'm not going to the Chargers. I don't want to play for San Diego. New York takes Phillip Rivers. We've got that famed trade. So, Bustin' with the Boys, what went down with this whole thing with you and San Diego?
What exactly was wrong with the Chargers?
I just didn't feel like they were the most committed team to winning at the time. Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach, who was awesome, had great respect for him. But, like, they came to work me out in New Orleans, went to dinner, and, like, there was just friction between, you know, the head coach, general manager, like, the owners. They're all, like, yelling, kind of, like, fighting. We were at a Marriott, like, restaurant, and you know, Schottenheimer's mad that he's like, we're in New Orleans, we're eating at a Marriott, and you know, so he's like pissed. They're like kind of just bickering, and it just didn't seem like there was a whole lot of like agreement on things, and like they were kind of like committed to building a great winning franchise at that moment. My parents really weren't supportive. My dad didn't like the idea. Like, he came to my defense and like supported me after everything was going down. But
he didn't like that you were kind of demanding. I don't want to go to San Diego.
Right. He didn't like that. And afterwards, he took like a blunt of a lot of the criticism because he kind of came to my defense, and you know, people are like, oh, you played in New Orleans all those years, you didn't win, so you're trying to dictate like where your son's going. And he just kind of, you know, bit his tongue and said, I'm just, you know, hey, this is what Eli wants to do, and I support him. And he kind of did some media to try to save me from doing all the media and taking the hits.
I do think it's hilarious to manage them just sitting at this Marriott or Marriott dinner, and Marty Schottenheimer's just like, what the bleep are we doing? We're in New Orleans. Why are we eating here? There's so many great restaurants. The GM, AJ Smith's like, go F yourself. You know, like they're just fighting, and it's like an old married couple, and Eli's here like, what the hell? I do not want to play with you guys. This is dysfunctional. What are we doing? And shout out to Archie, though. Like, that's a hell of a dad, because my entire recollection of that was, yes, like it was the Manning parents. Like, they're
absolutely
like, we don't want our son playing for the Chargers. That's a bad organization. No, really, it was Eli had a bad experience and is like, I'm good here. If we can go ahead and go ahead and use our power, I don't want anything to do with this organization. And Archie, for all this time, is taking the blame for it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating look at it, because I think we were all under the impression that Archie was the one that was strong-arming all of this, but it was all Eli. And what does that mean moving forward? Because we've all been thinking, man, Arch, he could just easily pull an Eli, because we feel like the Mannings were all involved in this. This is like a family decision, and they're going to be calculated in where he wants and doesn't want to go. But maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
Maybe Cleveland's sitting there at number one, or the Jets are sitting there at number one, or the Cardinals, and they're all just disgusting.
Oof.
But Arch is like, yeah, it is what it is. And Archie is going like, hey, man, like, you do what you got to do. I'm Grandpa, and you need to go. Like, he's encouraging you to just go whoever takes you.
Yeah. That's the way it works now.
Man, and how different would the NFC East history have been if he had just gone to the Chargers? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anybody believes Eli Manning was that great, although Wolchuk would defend his Hall of Fame credentials. I always thought Romo was better than Manning.
I agree with that. I do.
Okay.
But I do think, I mean, just based on the two championships beating Tom Brady, Like, he will get into the Hall of Fame. But the fact that they're keeping him away is a positive.
Yeah, but it's really interesting, and it's crazy that they just decided as a family, like, let Dad wear this. We don't need to go revisit it and relitigate it. They think it's Dad's problem, and they're not going to crush me for it. And Dad was like, "Oh, fine, I'll go ahead and wear that for the next 20 years." But I think, yes, to your point, now that Arch is coming out and this story is starting to influence how people look at that and look at his candidacy, he's probably looking for an opportunity to set the record straight to give Arch the clean slate.
I am kind of fascinated if Arch can go to Arizona, we would then be able to get Manning to Harrison 2.0.
Oh, yeah, because Marvin Harrison Jr. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that could be, if those all hit, like Jeremiah Love, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Arch Manning, like that's a nice trio.
And then Edgerrin's son, Jizzle, he could come out and be their running back.
Jizzle James?
Yeah.
Dude.
That's something. I think Peyton's kid's coming down the pipe as well. Isn't he like 14, 15?
Yeah, I see clips of him.
He looks like, he looks better than Arch.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
He can sling it.
Although they're saying Arch throws the tightest spirals of any Manning yet, like Peyton's was not good. Archie's was okay. Eli probably threw the best ball from a Manning perspective yet, but apparently Arch's are way better. Arch has way better balls than Eli.
Better than Troy's, though.
No. Okay, we got to run. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Scandalous weekend. We'll take a look. It's the C-Note coming up next here. The G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Man. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Time for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We have Vach Lombardi coming up in 15 minutes. As he'll fill in for Krusty's Corner this afternoon, we'll pick his brain about the Cowboys' offseason and what's coming up this summer. So looking forward to chatting with Vach here coming up shortly in the next segment. Dak Prescott at the rodeo event with a gal that was in Sarah Jane Ramos's bridal party. The internet instantly went into a speculation. Dak denying there is a relationship, said they'd been friends for a long time. I guess she was a freshman at Mississippi State as he was on his way out the door. And I don't know if they started a relationship back then or how Sarah Jane Ramos got to know her, but she was in the bridal party. Maybe her and Dak had been longtime friends. So they're at the rodeo event, and Dak denied a romantic relationship. When TMZ called the woman for comment, she handed the phone to Dak.
That's so weird.
You deal with this. I'm over it.
I'm surprised he took the phone call.
Yeah.
I've been like, no.
I'm good here. Tell what you want.
Hang that thing up.
Maybe she's like giving him the phone thinking, I'll find out where I am, where I stand with him.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's see how he responds to this.
I don't know, but you know, the way the story reads, it seems like maybe this was Dak's friend that was going to be part of the bridal party. Sometimes that happens. Like, yeah, hey, I've had this long-time great friend, and she can't exactly be a groomsman.
She's like a sister to me.
Yeah, she's like a sister to me. You know, it's just hard to believe, I think, stuff that a serial cheater says when it comes to denials of this sort, you know, and unfortunately, you know, there is the fact that this whole thing blew up and ended at the joint bachelorette party. So people are thinking, was this the deal breaker for Sarah Jane Ramos? I don't know. You know, I think at this point he's lost the ability. He's lost like plausible deniability, or he's lost credibility, I think, when it comes to the denial. But I would also add that I think if you're cheating, it should be with somebody significantly more attractive, you know, or at least the same level of attractiveness.
This is not the case, huh?
I would say not.
No.
You know, I was and maybe it was a bad picture. You know, sometimes the pictures don't capture your best side.
I've seen a few pictures.
Have you seen a few pictures? Okay.
You went down the rabbit hole?
No, I mean, they're all over the place. It's
Oh, yeah.
It's not like...
I'm not searching.
No, no. And I would be in agreement.
Okay.
Dawson.
Okay. All right.
She says she has a very strong Raya profile, which I think is like the celebrity dating app. So she's still out there single and ready to mingle, at least according to her. Caitlin, I believe is her name.
What's the Mendoza line for getting on that app?
I don't know.
Yeah, this wouldn't be something where you'd be like, yeah, we're totally dating. We're in love. You know, even if it's 100% that, the look of it is so bad. You know,
yeah, it's not great.
What's the old saying? The best way to get over somebody, you know, get under them.
I suppose. Okay, up next here in recapping a scandalous Cowboys weekend in the C-Note, Cowboys content creator West Coast Cowboy arrested and accused of human trafficking over the weekend. This one's wild.
Wait, what?
Yes.
I know the Cowboys content creation Twitter had to all put out public statements about this.
He'd been on a number of other creators' channels.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
Wait, what is this?
This is absolutely terrible.
So the FBI says that West Coast Cowboy, a kind of a medium-level creator, would you say?
Yeah, I don't know how big he really was. He's been on a lot of other, I'd say, big content creators like J-Tuck, Law Nation, you know, several others. You know, the World's Team podcast has had him on.
Yeah, you've probably seen his content. If you're on Cowboy Social, you've seen his stuff.
You probably have.
You've seen his reactions. Well, okay, so the FBI said he's guilty of threatening and stabbing one victim.
Jeez.
So they were, like, kidnapping women, according to the FBI, and then putting them into prostitution, and if you wanted to leave, you would get threatened with stabbing. And apparently they did stab one victim, and there was also a minor apparently involved.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
this is a Cowboys content creator who's also a
human trafficker.
He's done a lot of shady stuff behind the scenes. I had some, I was talking with our buddy Paul Stewart and some of the other UK Cowboys people reached out and were like, hey, have you ever had him on the show? I'm like, hell no, I don't know anything about this guy. Never talked to him. But he's been like extorting people for tickets, and I think he got banned from AT&T Stadium apparently. A lot of weird stuff going on with him.
It was a big weekend for discussing the content creator's place in the world of sports media. And, Brian weighed in, Jane Slater weighed in, Ed Werder weighed in. I think for the most part, like, independent reporters are great. They have been a great addition to sports coverage. And the deal is now is that you can learn a lot on your computer since they've started sharing all 22 film. And your traditional football reporters, they aren't coaches, they aren't scouts. A lot of people that were players, scouts, I think Vach Lombardi coached for a while, right? Yeah. You get a level of understanding about the game that maybe traditional media doesn't have, and now you can turn on the All 22 because the NFL has made that available and break things down that beat reporters might not even be thinking about. So I love what the sports media ecosystem has grown into, where you have old traditional TV people, you got radio people like us, you got internet content creators, you got fans and coaches that decided to turn on the YouTube channel 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and see what it turned into when it's grown into this massive thing. But I think it's all additive. I don't think it's one or the other. And if you're from the traditional media perspective and you're thinking, well, this is the way it's always happened, so this is the way it should always be, I just think you're being closed-minded.
You are. I mean, I do think there is an element of, like, the people that are boots on the ground, they're there in the building every day. You are going to have a unique perspective that not everybody has. And it doesn't mean that, like, these other people aren't credible. But I do understand, you know, the Ed Werder way of thinking. Like, you know, I'm here and I'm looking over and I see Nick Harris and Clarence Hill and Calvin Watkins and John Machota every day, Joseph Hoyt. Right. Like, we're here. We're grinding. We're putting in the work. So, like, Todd Archer, you know, Bobby to an extent, like all of us, you know, we're our own little community here. And I do think I would trust them maybe first and foremost, right? Like, they're going to know it. They're going to get that information. They're there. They live in the building. But to say, I think Law's done a great job with this. A lot of these other Cowboys content creators have formulated relationships with a lot of players and coaches. And they're able to even get access and get information
now
that some of these other reporters aren't privy to.
Yes.
So I do.
And those reporters sometimes have to pretend like things aren't true to protect their access.
Right.
You know, so sometimes they can't tell you the truth. But again, it's all additive. I'm not choosing one or the other. I love being able to tap into the guys that are in the building.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to be able to tell you things that the guy in his couch binge watching all 22 can't.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy on his couch watching all 22 is spending his time doing different things, you know. And what I want the people in the building to acknowledge is they don't know that as well as some of the content creators do.
Agreed.
You know, and collectively, I think the internet is just doing such a better job at serving and educating the fan.
Yeah, I think we've got really, we're kind of in a golden era right now of Cowboys content. I think we've got a lot of excellent people that are doing incredible work, whether it's in the YouTube space, podcasting, whatever it might be.
But some content creators, I guess, how we got here in this story with West Coast Cowboy, it's they're complete weirdos, you know? And the reason that they're at home by themselves is because if you put them in a corporate environment, they're going to melt down and sabotage themselves one way or another, or they don't have, you know, the skills or, you know, to work interpersonally with anybody. So they got to do their own thing. And, you know, over time it's revealed, like, there was this dude named BitBoy in crypto, and I used to watch his YouTube channel all the time. He had the number one channel, made it to the top 1 million subs. Whoa. Making $20, $30 million a year. He totally short-circuited, cheated on his wife, and got thrown in prison in the course of about 8 months.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about rags to riches.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. Riches to rags.
Okay. Of the non-scandal variety, gentlemen, congrats to Clayton Adams. He's in the NFL Accelerator Program. This is a program the NFL does to help teams find their next coaches and GMs. And, you know, it's pretty cool. I think, you know, one takeaway is it's awesome that the Cowboys are putting people in this program, if you wanted to go positive with it.
Yeah.
Like, hell yes. The NFL actually has a special committee of people that are looking for the most promising coaches, and the Cowboys have one in there.
How about that?
How long's it been? I don't know. I don't know the last Cowboy, or this is the first Cowboy coach that's in the Accelerator program.
I mean, I would think Kellen Moore was in there.
Maybe,
but he would probably be the only guy just because of the youth factor. He was young and he had a really good narrative behind him that he was going to be the man. And he's ultimately gotten the head coaching job. But otherwise, no, they usually go for the old recycled coaches that are not on their way up. They're more on their way out.
Yes. So I'd say that's another good sign that Shoddy is heading in a great direction. It's also kind of sad that the league needs a program like this because the owners don't want to spend the time to learn it themselves. Like, if you were actually a team that was paying attention to all the trends, you'd be like, what are we doing putting this program together? I'm out working everybody to figure out who has the best trends and where the best coaches are. And now you're just putting out a master list for every lazy owner across football. But that's a window into how they think. They want to do well themselves. They want it to be easy. And they also want to make it easy for their partners to have success so their fan bases can be energized, because you making more money means more money for me. So I don't think it's in the best spirit of competitiveness. Would be another one of my takeaways on this story. And then the topic of possibly losing Clayton Adams. How concerned are you guys with that?
I'm concerned. I mean, I think that he is one. You look at just the way that the running game worked last year. You can see his fingerprints all over how they utilized that thing. And I think it'll hopefully take another step this year. So you don't want to lose good coaches. Now, do we believe in Shoddy has been able to put that offensive staff together? Yeah. So, I mean, is he going to be able to identify somebody else that can come in and take over that responsibility? If Clayton Adams is getting a head coaching job, it means good things happen for Dallas. So, big picture, I think if you're a Cowboy fan, yes, it sucks to lose your coaches, but you're losing coaches because it probably means your team's been successful.
Yeah, and we've obviously seen Shoddy now build this staff out in a pretty respectable way. He's now done that on the defensive side of the ball with Christian Parker, and that's probably going to have to be his superpower. If you aren't going to be the man, like Kyle Shanahan can lose coaches, Sean McVay can lose coaches, they are the guy. And if you aren't that, then your superpower needs to be able to go identify the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that with Clayton Adams, but that's going to be something that you're going to have to do if you're successful probably every few years.
Yes. And I right now, I think I trust Schottenheimer to do that about as good as anybody. You know, I think you mentioned Shanahan. They have put together a ton of great young coaches that have gone off and done other good things with the Rams and McVay. I'm trying to think of other teams that I would trust their hiring as much or more than I do with Shoddy right now. McDonald in Seattle. It seems like he really struck gold last year with Clint Kubiak. They brought in Brian Fleury now. He previously served as the run game coordinator and tight ends coach with the Niners. So, you know, he's looking in the right spots, I think. But I don't know if there's any other coaches besides the ones that I mentioned so far that I would trust as much as I would with Shoddy. Seemed like Liam Cohen's probably got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, Tampa Bay had a really good stretch of turnovers at offensive coordinator. They went Liam Cohen, Dave Canales, Byron Leftwich was there. And all of them had success.
All right, we got to run. We got Krusty's Corner coming up with Vach Lombardi, the famous Cowboys YouTuber, is next here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting the fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is time for Krusty's Corner with a special guest today brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. King.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words!
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
All right, and thanks again to Greystone Roofing for sponsoring this. Brian will return on Thursday. Day Baseball on Wednesday brought us back on Thursday. And joining us now, his podcast partner, he has his own YouTube page. You can see him on Brian's Crown Global Media Daily. Vach Lombardi here with you on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's happening, fellas? Just, you know, working, doing our thing. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's start big picture here, Vach, with how much of a jump you expect the Cowboys to make in 2026 based on this offseason?
I see, Gavin, that's a dangerous question, because if I get on this radio and say, oh, man, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders, they're going to call me a homer, they're going to say I'm being XYZ, so why would you even put me in this situation? That's exactly what I'm about to say. But, you know, if you just follow the breadcrumbs, right? Like, hey, man, this was the worst defense we've ever seen in our whole entire life. Not just the kind of worst defense I've seen in my short life, or the worst defense in the league that year. This was like a historically all-time top 10 worst defense ever. And they still found a way to win 7 games. Now, if you just do a little bit of math, because we cover the Cowboys every single day, every single week. That was the time in week 14, 15, we were actually having this conversation. Hey, man, the Cowboys could get in the playoffs if this happened, this happened, this happened. And that was still with them going out there looking horrible on defense. Now, Christian Parker, all you got to do is be 29th, be 28th, my boy, 25th. And you know, that'll just be humongous change. You'll win 2 or 3 or maybe 4 more games. So, yeah, man, you know, it sounds homery to feel like the Cowboys can make a huge leap in wins if they, you know, shore up some things on defense and they go out there and be fantastic on offense like they were last year. It doesn't sound impossible, but this Cowboy land and, you know, doom and gloom is the norm.
You know, I guess what holds me up from what could be and the best case scenario is just how difficult it could be against the AFC South and the NFC West. And if those teams are as good as they were last year, I feel like the Cowboys could be a bit better and maybe not end up with any more wins because of how difficult their opponents are.
Well, it's a good thing that you play the Giants twice and you play the Washington Football Wizards twice. And, you know, Dak seems to have some good luck versus the Eagles, because, you know, how dare Dak, you know, play a good team well. So he does well against those guys. You know, you would say that you have a pretty good chance of beating the Titans or whatnot. The Cardinals get weird. Arizona gets a little weird. On paper, that should be a team that you should be, but there's no such thing as a guarantee. But I think what we all have to figure out is, you know, what are we most worried about? Are we worried about the balanced team, which is like, think about San Fran or think about the Ravens, right? Or are we, you know, we more fearful of the team that's elite on one side, but they are vulnerable on the other side, right? So the Houston Texans, for example, some people are fearing the hell out of the Houston Texans, and I feel you. That's one of the best defense in the league. It might be the best defense in the league. But CJ Stroud looked weird out there, you know what I'm saying? And we have to account for those things. Brock Purdy can look weird sometimes. You know, the Ravens had a weird season last year. So, yeah, on paper, it is a very difficult schedule. But if you made the improvements that we all think that, you know, Overshawn coming back healthy. Deron Bland should be healthier. Your linebacker situation just simply doesn't have Murray involved, right? Mm-hmm. You would assume that you can do decent versus those teams if, and I'm saying a bunch of ifs and buts, but this is, you know, preseason. So there has to be ifs and buts. If your Dallas Cowboys offense shows up and does their thing, yeah, you could beat some good teams. You beat good teams last year. You know, you never would have thought that you could drop 40 points on Green Bay. It's just that your defense gave up the same damn 40 points. So we just got to do that same game this year.
Great Vach Lombardi with us here in the G-Bag Nation, 105 through the fan. Vach, I want to ask you about the offensive line, and I believe you and Skywalker Steele might have just talked about this as well. I encourage everybody to go check that out on YouTube. But the Tyler Smith conversation about guard to tackle that kind of got brought up with Joseph Hoyt talking with him at the Derby about it. What do you think about Guyton? What are your expectations for him and maybe the best case, worst case for this offensive line in 26?
So, Zach, when we go into draft world, right, you have to decide, are you floor guy or are you ceiling guy? You know, if you like the players that have a high floor that can come in and do things right now, then cool. Those are the guys that you like. But some people are ceiling guy. Some people like to, you know, shoot dice in the bathroom. Some people like to take chances and say, hey, man, I know this dude hadn't played football for a long time. He hasn't played tackle, but for 1 year he was a tight end prior to this. But, man, I bet by year three he'll be a pretty good tackle. Hey, man, you know, you can't be that guy and then be impatient in year one and year two. This is Tyler Guyton's third year. Now, I'm floor guy. I'm more of the Booker dude. I want the dude that's good as hell right now, and then he'll go lift some weights and get bigger and be good next year. That's more my kind of guy. So I don't think that this Guyton thing should be an emergency right now. This is right on track. This is exactly who Tyler Guyton is, you know, supposed to be. Now, if you look at Tyler Guyton in 2024 versus 2025, he was on the right track to improvement. He was going up, and we were in camp. Y'all was at camp. What's up? Y'all was at camp. Y'all was there. And Guyton was doing his thing until Guyton got hurt. And him getting hurt set him back a whole bunch. Him not having to go against Micah at camp, that set him back a whole bunch. So he needs reps. He needs as many reps as he possibly can get. And he did make some improvements. But, hey, man, you have a couple setbacks. You're totally different dude. Now, what I don't think the Cowboys want to do, I don't think they want to move the interior too much. I think they want to be super elite in there with BB and Big Tyler and Booker, because it's three Tylers, pardon me. So they want those guys to move A gap. They want those guys to move B gap. When they play the Eagles, they'll let Dak worry about Nolan Smith, Jonathan Grenard, the outside pressure, all that stuff. But you want to keep Carter in check. You want to keep Davis in check. So that's where your guards and your center are important. And Tyler Smith, Big Tyler, he is an elite guard. He played a fantastic guard season last year. And he was hurt. He'll be healthy this year. And what I think you don't want to do is to take a dude that's elite, that's all pro, and put him at tackle and just make him cool. You already got a cool dude at tackle. If you look around the league, there are worse tackles than Tyler Guyton. We just live in Tyron Smith world. We live in that old classic Cowboy offensive line world. Guyton's not horrific. He just ain't as good as we want Guyton to be. But I wouldn't want to move somebody elite just to make him okay and just to take a cool dude and put him somewhere else to be another cool dude. Stay great. Stay fantastic. And if it gets bad, then draft a tackle next year.
Vach, how do you expect the offense to get better next season?
Hey, man, keep on breathing and existing. One thing that I keep mentioning that's really difficult for an offense is when you're constantly in this shootout mode, right? So, like I said, the Cowboys defense, they were 49th worst last year. That's horrible. And as an offense, it's hard to get a rhythm. As an offensive line, it's hard to, you know, change up some of your attacks because you're always pass setting. You never get an opportunity to hit first. So what happens is when the Cowboys are running the football and they get to be physical and they're a much better run blocking unit, it, then they get to play action. They get to do all kinds of weird stuff. They get to mix up the defense. But when you are only passing the football because J.J. McCarthy whooped your ass, because Russell Wilson whooped your ass, I don't know if I can say ass twice or three times on the radio. I know I got one good one.
Unlimited.
But when you're constantly in shootout mode, when you're constantly in track meet mode, you're taking away half your offense because you're having to throw the football. So what ends up happening last year is, okay, well, if we get up to a point to where Bo Nix is throwing the ball all over the yard, then what we get to do is we get the bracket pickings and we get to shift one dude over here to take Lamb away and make Flournoy beat us. And we know they're not going to run the football because they're down two scores, right? So if you're the Cowboys offense, you live in this world where you get to run the football when you want and you get to throw when you want and you get to play action when you want, I would imagine that you get a little bit better. How many times did we just watch the Cowboys last year, second half of a game, you have to be perfect, and they just don't run the ball because they just can't run the ball because they're down. And Javonte Williams still had, what, 1,200 rushing yards last year? I think the run game would be better. As far as the passing game goes, I just want them to be efficient. Dak Prescott doesn't have to lead the league in passing and touchdowns or anything like that. I would actually love it if Dak could have a game like Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy where he only gets to throw the ball 12 times, gets 120-something passing yards, and you just run the ball and play defense. That would be a luxury to have something like that. But Dak don't know nothing about that, because if Dak, you know, plays bad, then the whole Cowboys play bad.
Vach Lombardi here with you on The Fan. Okay, give me the best under-the-radar move of this offseason. I got three options. You got Durant, you got Abonya, you got Devin Moore, one of the fourth-round picks, or other. Vach, who would you go with?
Man, Devin Moore, you know, in my personal opinion, might be a next-year guy. It could be Otito. It could be Otito because he's just an extra rundown guy. I think what the Cowboys really wanted to do is they wanted to raise their floor and make it hard for an offense to do anything to him. Once upon a time, the Cowboys had this defense where they can roll out the bed and get a whole bunch of sacks, or they'll go get turnovers and picks and all that. But versus a good team, they can run the ball for 250 yards against you, and none of that matters. What I think the Cowboys did this year is that they're kind of sacrificing some of that stuff. They had a whole bunch of three techs that are like decent pass rush guys, or just D tackles that are decent pass rushy upfield attacking type guys. Perrion was a guy like that, Solomon Thomas, and of course Osa was a guy like that, and they would ask Quinnen and Kenny to do it, right? I think now what they're leaning towards is like, hey man, let's just get big edges on the outside, let's get big dudes on the inside. Linebackers gotten a little bit bigger, you got corners that can tackle, and we're gonna play this scheme where you got this safety playing nickel so he helps in the run game. I think what the Cowboys want to do is they just want to stay steady on defense. I think you may not get as many big plays on defense, but you're not going to get as many big plays happening to you. And that might be just what this Cowboys offense needs, just to be true. So Otito, Ogbonya, hey, man, there's going to be a bunch of down linemen there. You're going to need three of them. And when you play nickel, you're going to need another dude that can move around and play different spots. Otito can play zero, one, four. I wouldn't do it a whole bunch, but he can. Three tech. And he's a dude that's really good versus the run. So if Christian Parker wants to be this chess player, this calculus defense to where he's mixing up the looks, and that's going to be what your pass rush is, just making your quarterback hold the ball longer, then you just need dudes to deal with the run, and Otito can do that.
He is at Vach Lombardi on Twitter, on YouTube. You see him on Crown Global Media with Brian Broaddus every day, buddy. Anything else we can tell the folks how to get to you?
Hey man, Vach Lombardi, somebody in the comments right now probably don't like me or whatever. I saw a couple people in there. But hey man, Vach Lombardi everywhere. You can find me. I'm Googleable. Appreciate y'all, and I'll be tapping into 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, Fantex loved you, bro. We're going to have to do this more often.
Thanks, Vach.
Cheers, buddy.
Well, thank you. Salute. Appreciate y'all.
Salute. See you in Oxnard, sir. Or sooner on Zoom. Thanks to Vach. Okay, we got to run. We got 2 hours down, three to go. Little mixed bag coming up, old Chuck.
Yeah, let's do it. We do have Brady. We got Manning. And how about we get back to that best free agent fit for your Dallas Cowboys? Maybe sprinkle dink a little MMA news in there as well. That's next in the Nation.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.